Information for the user. One. Warning. Listen. Listen to me. Listen to this program carefully. It has been prepared and prescribed for you and for no one else. Do not offer it to others. It may destroy them, even if their pathology is the same as yours. If you are a carer or you are assisting someone else in the search for sanity, please think twice about your first impressions before you give that person a dose of your own medicine. This program is about peace of mind, or trademark PM. In this program, you will discover what peace of mind is and what it is used for. You will learn about the possible side effects of peace of mind and how to store it away safely out of the reach and the sight of children. This program will last approximately 50 minutes. That is the average duration of a private session of psychotherapy. But this program will not dump on parents or engage in the blood sport of blame. You, singular, are the greatest problem in your own life. Accordingly, this program will make waves. It will make long waves, it will make short waves, and it will make medium waves. They are all covered by the VHF, or very high frequency, which should never be confused with very frequent highs. You will not have to pay the price of audition at this time. You may pay it beforehand or afterwards. You may pay it sooner or later. You may pay it in installments or as one lump sum. You may pay it on the way out if you prefer not to pay it on the way in. All the exits are clearly marked. Entrance, danger, keep out. In other words, you are not being taken to the cleaners, cherished listener. You are not being taken to the cleansers either. You are not being cleaned or cleansed or even laundered in a maudlin manner. You are not being washed or hand-wrung. You are not being hung out to dry. Your shirts will not surrender on the washing line. They will not be white as a sheet in the storm of the slow cycle. Instead, the purpose of this program is to pray that the Holy Spirit will renew the face of your dirt and restore you to the pure filth of the world. That is our beautiful duty. Lord, hear your predators as we pray. The response to the bidding prayer of this program is commonly Amen, but the more inclusive amended or mended is preferred. Minded is also acceptable, and, in England, a discreetly non-productive clearing of the throat that sounds like a hem. You may now respond in your own time and place. How?
How are you today?
Not too bad, Doctor.
Not too bad. Not too bad.
No.
Sorry?
I mean, yes, not too bad.
They say that in French, too.
What?
Not too bad.
Do they?
Yes, where I go, in Cathar territory.
Right.
They say pas mal. Ça va, says the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. Pas mal, you say back.
Not bad.
Exactly.
No, I mean your accent.
Oh, merci, monsieur.
Welcome.
Another odd bod, that. That one, merci. Merci for thank you.
Why is that?
Merci sounds like mercy. Merci Dieu sounds like mercy God. More terror than thanks, I always thought. Of course, I did pass French in the leaving.
How did you get into medicine with pass French?
It was different in those days. Merci Dieu.
They say the opposite, actually.
The opposite of what?
They say Dieu merci.
I see. Well, they're not very religious where I go. The church is on all the postcards. But I looked into the confession box, and what did I find?
What did you find?
I found a vacuum cleaner.
A vacuum cleaner?
Yeah, vacuum cleaner. I wanted to tell my neighbour, but I couldn't think of the French for vacuum cleaner. Do you know what the French for a vacuum cleaner is?
It'll come back to me.
I tried Hoover without the H. Wasn't Hoover, anyway. Or Neil Fisker. As well as that, I still have to think a sentence through, word by word in English, before I can say it in French. I can't go straight to French.
I can't go straight to English.
You can't go straight to English?
Not really. No Irishman can.
I see. That's very interesting.
You go diagonally.
Diagonally?
A joke.
Not bad.
Not too bad, thank God.
Not too bad at all. Is not too bad a bit better than not too good? Or a lot better? Or a whole lot better?
What do you mean?
Or is it much, much, much better? Is it the best you can be in this worst of all possible worlds?
Not too bad is not too bad, thank God.
Thank God?
Yes.
You're always thanking God.
Am I? Thank God for that.
You know yourself you're always at it. The small print at the end of the contract, the contract contracting, terms and conditions. They used to write PG in letters. They used to write yours in JC. It was always TG in diaries. TG beside the moon waxing, TG beside the moon waning. Was friends with X. A good day, TG.
Yes.
When you say it, though, it's more than like. It's more than you know, or you know what I mean. It's more than when they say in it in London. Every second word is in it over there. It's more than when some fella in Salinoggin says fuck at the end of every sentence, thank God.
Yes.
When is it Tourette's and when is it poetry? That's what I wonder. When is it an intellectual tick and when is it total insight? I'm feeling great, thank God. No problem with that. But 6 weeks ago, here it is, word for word, in the red accordion file. I am in hell, thank God. And I am going to die, thank God. That was the day you ate all the cheese you'd been stashing away. But you didn't die of the cheese. And you could have, on the tablets. You could have died or been brain damaged if the cheese had been better quality, not processed. If it had been runny brie or feta. You vomited it all up in the handicapped toilet. And then you went and ate the vomit off the tiles. And you still didn't die the second time.
Thank God.
Now you're talking. Now you are talking.
Always and everywhere.
Always and everywhere.
Thanking.
Thanking God.
Yes. Always and everywhere thankful.
A motto, a mantra.
Yes. A and E.
A and E?
A for always, E for everywhere. A and E.
As in accident and emergency. As in casualty.
Just a coincidence. As in Semper Et Ubique, the slogan.
My daughter says, oh my God. Oh my God this, oh my God that, oh my God, Daddy dear. But that's not Moses on Mount Sinai. That's MTV. That's her iTube and her U-phone. That's a voice going up at the end of a sentence like an American. But who is this God you're so terrified of? You have to be thanking him. Thanking him. Thanking him all the time.
2. Peace of mind. Or PM. Peace of mind, or trademark PM, is a placebo. It contains the smell of fresh toast, serotonin, the alcohol molecule, REM sleep, silly memories, phrases from Mozart, the scent of infancy, especially the nape of the newborn neck, nicotine, the burial of the father, the feel of your mother's cashmere cardigan with her own eau de toilette, and the manual male orgasm with or without stapled periodicals. Other ingredients in peace of mind may include the death of enemies as a temporary antidepressant. Urinating and defecating on other people can be very consoling too, but it should be carried out in conjunction with a regime of aromatherapy under the supervision of a medical doctor who is also a reversible tattoo artist. If you must self-harm, do it in henna. Peace of mind is used to treat the following conditions: moderate to severe insight, the species obsessive-compulsive search for meaning, minor episodes of a sudden fundamental terror at the thought of it all, minor episodes of a sudden fundamental euphoria at the thought of it all, major episodes of guilt, grief, and other good things without which we would not be sapient sapient or even sentient sentient, but simply homo homo, the gut feeling of gastric crisis unrelated to sugar lows, swine fever, or slimming laxatives, the knowledge of good and evil, the second law of thermodynamics if it is found to be non-falsifiable, purging and persecuting. In conjunction with antihistamines, Australian white wine, and gas-fired central heating, peace of mind may also be used to treat the counterfactual fantasies of the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel according to Matthew, the involuntary ruminative rituals of touching our forehead, belly button, and nipples when we pass the large listed buildings that are hard to heat, where consenting female adults gather on Sunday mornings, among many plus signs, to hum in unison to their favourite imaginary friend for a period approximating the length of a single session of psychotherapy, or the total duration of this programme. Peace of mind may be used to anaesthetise the tender bewilderment of each and every stage of human weight gain, breakdown, breakup, and brokenness itself, between adolescence and dementia. It is safe in small doses for embryos and for elders in a vegetative stupor. The biochemical mnemonic may be helpful here. Peace to the goo-goo and the gaga only. The ghastly bodies in between must be agog. However, PM is not always recommended for pregnant women. Peace of mind can pass through the placenta and give the fetus ideas above its station. Breastfeed gingerly. Come, Holy Spirit, and renew the face of our dirt. Restore us to the pure filth of the world. Lord, hear your predators as we pray. You may now respond in your own time and place with Amen or Ahem. Where
do we go from here, Doctor?
Where do we go from here? You think this is a journey?
Isn't it?
Beginnings, models, ends, map lines, lifelines, a mystery tour. In the midst of all this terror and euphoria, you're so empirical. There has to be a story.
There is a story. Once upon a time, there was a man. He was living happily ever after.
Then one day.
It's the most terrible phrase in the English language.
It's not as terrifying as care in the community.
You have me there.
Still, then one day, the plot thickens. the cemeteries incinerate. I blame the Booker Prize. I blame the Puffin Club. I blame novels.
Novels?
Yeah, the interaction of character and incident to produce a coherent narrative. That's not life. That's literature. Or a curriculum vitae. All fibs. All fiction. You've spent too long in Waterstones, dear boy.
Hodges' figures.
Tweedledum, Tweedledee. What are you reading?
The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
My point precisely.
What are you reading?
Sex, Marriage, and the Human Family, Volume 47, edited by 12 psychogeriatric celibates in the Society of Jesus.
I want to go back, Doctor.
The Hodges and Figures are Waterstones.
To my parents.
Oh. All roads lead to home. That's novels again. If you feel like Solzhenitsyn, there has to be a gulag. There has to be a motive, a message, a meaning. The universe must be a crime scene and not simply an accident waiting to happen.
My father exhaled his cigarette smoke through his nostrils with his head down. My mother threw a mouth with her face lifted. Everything made sense in the living room in front of that blazing television.
If you imitate normality, you will become normal. That's your man. That's your mantra.
We watch color films in black and white. We were in black and white, too. When the picture turned to a ping at close down, we could see ourselves in brown and taupe for a moment, staring at the screen. I saw the bridge on the River Kwai again a few weeks ago. It was better in black and white. So was the guns in Navarone.
When I say novels, I mean films, too, and plays. What I mean is stories. We aren't stories. We are histories. We are stranger than fiction, as our Lord used to say. You follow?
I follow.
The life you follow is stranger than the life you lead. The life you lead is neither here nor there. The life you lead is anecdotal. The life you follow follows you everywhere.
Tell me about it.
On the other hand, you can bake beautiful apple tarts. You couldn't do that before. You can make a blind craft light shade now, or a four-legged stool for a toddler. Opportunity knocks. Knocks, too, can be opportune in occupational therapy. Plus, you can write with your left hand because of what you did to your right hand with the secateurs in the potting shed. You're ambidextrous, almost. These are all anecdotes.
I am more than I mean. That's the worst thing of all.
That is the worst thing of all. You are more than you mean.
I have a history.
You have a history? For the time being, at any rate.
If you have a history, do you have a future?
You can have a future history. I can foretell that.
You can foretell that?
I can foretell it. Everything except the past. The past is always changing.
And what can you foretell for me?
There'll be a huge loading on any insurance policy or mortgage endowment. So what? The average life expectancy of an EU citizen retiring at 65 is only 2 years anyway.
Right.
You won't be able to adopt that Oriental baby girl. So what? Foreign adoptions will probably be the subject of tribunals in 30 years' time. Hounded grandees flocking into court with their heads covered or their pixels blurred, and a flash photography caveat on the newscast for the epileptic community.
Right.
Public sector promotion is out of the question. So what? You'll be energized by grievance until you retire. A decent dose of self-pity is a spur to sanity. Now, I must call a halt. In fact, I must call my daughter. My daughter in France. Do you know, my poor opposable thumb is numb from texting that brat.
3. Contraindications. Peace of mind may harden your heart. If you feel your heart hardening, talk in confidence to your personal trainer. Avoid the breaststroke, all tumble turns, and watch a compilation of your favorite television commercials again and again and again. Foremost among them in present polls are the Milk Flake ad in 1971 and the Lady Loves Milk Tray, third series. Peace of mind may cause calcification of the bones of the inner ear so that you may listen intently but just not get it. If you cannot hear this program properly, for example, you may be suffering from too much peace of mind. PM can promote the accumulation of wax in the eardrum such that you hear voices, and the crow family in mono or not at all, not at all. You should not drive or be driven or open your Facebook account in this state. Peace of mind may give you tunnel vision or peripheral vision or religious visions, whether A, B, C or D, Abrahamic, Buddhist, Confucian, Taoist. If you feel that you cannot see beyond your own septum, talk to your psychiatrist. Do not bother talking to psychologists. They may have doctorates, but they are not doctors. They cannot write prescriptions. What use is that? Pharmacy is the answer to most fears. Barley came before wheat, booze before bread. Did you know that? Screw psychologists before they screw you. Peace of mind may prevent inner commotion, existential tremors of a pseudo-Parkinsonian kind, conscience-stricken seizures, passion and compassion, the acoustic of 3 in the morning deep in the mortgage dormitory suburbs. PM may also make you speechify when you should be speechless, a chatterbox when you should be shattered. If you are talking 10 to the dozen as I am now, if you are only tongue-tied when you are French kissing, there is a strong likelihood that you have nothing whatsoever of any worth to say. Peace of mind may prevent internal bleeding, cardiac arrhythmia, and weeping wounds. These are great losses in the long run, as are anxiety, impulse, dread, exhilaration, shame, and desire. The greatest loss of all is the sense of loss itself, the looking back, the lingering, the belatedness, the saline tears of Lot's wife and Eurydice's husband. We would not be human if we were not the present absentees of our own existence, the illegal aliens of the material realm. Peace of mind may stimulate self-confidence and other morbid failings. It may have an eventual contraceptive effect. If you are serenely sleeping spoons with a woman you would have shagged in the dog in a Renault 4 25 years ago in Ballyferriter at the full moon, you are unlikely to have a runt in your litter at this late stage of your docile, your indolent fertility. Peace of mind may increase or decrease sexual function, as if it weren't functioning perfectly well already. It may cause long-standing erections which you are impotent to do anything about, or may potentiate erectile dysfunction, whichever. I say tomatoes, you say tomatoes. It may also retard genius and other related disabilities like self-effacement, modesty, and mindfulness. Come, Holy Spirit, and renew the face of our dirt. Restore us to the pure filth of the world. Lord, hear your predators as we pray. You may now respond in your own time and place with Amen or Ahem.
Who are all the priests?
The priests?
In here? All the priests in this hospital? All the patients pretending to be chaplains and not inmates? It's like the segregation unit for the paedophiles down in the Curragh. A priest smoking at every sand bin in the corridor.
They're safer in here. You're safer in here. In here is mental illness. Out there is madness. You can treat mental illness, but you can't treat madness.
What madness?
Oh, the current craze, Islanders, Auschwitz under the swastika sign of St. Bridget, that madness. We're running out of things to hate. That's why I love the mentally ill, dear boy. They only hate themselves, and they're allowed to smoke. Normal people hate everyone else bar none, and they grind their teeth on their Nicorette chewing gum. It's a collective psychosis. You can't treat as collective psychosis. All you can do is hide. All you can do is find a safe place, a safe house. That's what asylum means in Greek, a safe house.
What am I hiding from?
Your perishables. We've sorted every dry recyclable, every plastic container, every Sunday supplement. It has to be your perishables. Sloppery, slippery stuff somewhere between compost and diarrhea. Excrement marks the spot. It always does. We stink, therefore we are.
What are they hiding from?
Who?
The priests. The childless fathers, the fatherless children.
They're hiding from the posse. The impossible posse. The only way to be ahead of the posse is to be part of the posse. But they don't know that. They're pillars of salt, not pillars of state. The columns inch towards them. The columnists surround them. It's the little big top. It's Babi Yar. It's bogeyman time. It's the Celtic terror. Or maybe...
Maybe.
They're waiting for their mammies to die before they quit the ministry. The trouble is, those witches with their bitchcraft are good for a century. They're not just Marianne. They're marinated. I curse their covert uterus.
Can I ask you...
Oh, ask away.
Are you a practicing Catholic?
Am I a practicing Catholic? I'm certainly a practiced one. Perhaps I'm a practical one. If I look at the writing on the wall behind your head, I discover, to my amazement, that I'm a licensed Catholic practitioner. Is that the same thing?
Nobody practices anymore. Nobody pretends.
That's because rehearsals are over, dear boy. Even the dress rehearsal. This is your big day. It's your first night as a committed Christian. You've been committed by your wife, your brother, your children, and your chiropodist. That's a lot of commitment. And you're feeling stage fright. Besides, people with your particular predilection tend to be smells and bells sorts. I kid you not.
But you can help me.
Of course I can help you. You're ill enough to be helped. Isn't that wonderful? Pity those who aren't. Pity the poor folk on the commuter trains, hanging from the handcuffs of the straps on a Monday morning. Pity the poor folk on the gridlocked motorways on a Monday evening. Pity those who come 20th and 21st in a class of 30 students. Not for them the scholarship program. Not for them the special needs assistant. They are alone with their ordinary torments. You are the lucky one. You should be grateful.
How can you help me?
How can I not?
My life is pear-shaped. My tears are pear-shaped. My shit is pear-shaped. The only thing in my life that isn't pear-shaped is the fruit of the pear tree where the partridge sits.
Your life isn't pear-shaped. It's not oblong. It's round.
I didn't say it was oblong.
I always thought oblong was pear-shaped. Is it obloid?
No.
What is it, so?
Pear-shaped is a tapered sphere in solid geometry.
Of course. I failed general-level maths in the Leaving Cert.
How many subjects did you pass in the Leaving Certificate?
Tapered sphere is pretty. But let's say a circle instead. Your life is a circle. Because it's a circle and not a straight line... You're afraid it's a zero. You play with the sign of nothing at all, like a child with a hula hoop. Actually, it's rather beautiful to watch.
Maybe beautiful to watch, but it's not beautiful to be.
Try to be kinder to your cortex. Weigh yourself in the morning and not in the evening. Be still and know that none of us is God. Thank God. If you have to pray, pray that you'll be spared any other significant human experience for the duration. There are 360 degrees in a circle, but there are 365 days in the year. Stitches drop. Fittings alter. Things get messy. They are meant to.
I thought you failed maths in the Leaving Cert.
Some things get beaten into you, in a manner of speaking. Now I must text my daughter in France. The sat-nav tells her that she's reached her destination. But she's just pulled into a war grave cemetery, somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
4. How to regulate your peace of mind. Peace of mind is a mood stabilizer. It should always be taken with a pinch of salt, preferably lithium. Pinches of such salt may induce an initial sense of buoyancy and flotation, familiar to those who have bathed in the Dead Sea and bobbed about in its swampy, stinking surfaces 2,000 feet below sea level for year after year after year, till their great-grandchildren grow beards as long as rope ladders. But this sensation will eventually mature into the strong sense that you are lying eternally on a memory foam mattress beside an infinity pool which ends in a frozen waterfall, a cliffhanger on ice under skies that are parting at the speed of continents, a micromillimeter per millennium. Your renal function will be grievously insulted at this point, that is to say, your kidneys will be wizened to giblets, if and when this happens. Switch from liquid anaesthesia to pot. Lebanese red in biscuit form is recommended over inhalation of weed for respiratory reasons. Peace of mind should never be taken lying down. We are a species who think on our feet. Take your tablets in the living room, standing tall, back straight, wearing a necktie and button-down collar, looking at the black-and-white mantelpiece memories of the dead and the dying and the undead on the marble slab of the fireplace over the smoke and embers of your barbecue in a bag. Swallow your peace of mind whole. Do not chew on it. You may be a ruminant, but you do not have the stomach. Do not use your peace of mind to live in the minute. That is what our zoological colleagues in other classes and categories do. It is what aardvarks and geckos, hooded cobras and store cattle do. In fact, all animate entities bar us. We are something else altogether, God forgive us. Do not use your peace of mind to predict the past. The past is always ahead of us, out of sight, out of mind. Out of minding, mutating, mutating, the past has an inexhaustible future going forward. Do not use your peace of mind unless you have to. Otherwise, you will degenerate into an after-dinner speaker, a beloved public figure, a national treasure, a hardy laureate, a person who feels that he, she, or it is entitled to inherit his, her, or its curriculum vitae. A curriculum vitae is the opposite of eternal life. Only the virtues that ruin us are real. Flagellate yourself. This is how sperm start out, by self-flagellation. And look where they end up. In the best possible place, the portals of debutantes, the dowager vaginas of our sweet Sagoshas, Lord have mercy. On which note, come, Holy Spirit. Renew the face of our dirt. Restore us to the pure filth of the world. Lord, hear our predators as we pray. You may now respond in your own time and place with Amen or Ahem. When
was the red telephone?
The red telephone was when I got lost in the north of Ireland.
You left the path and went into the greenwood.
I left the path and I went into a dark forest. I couldn't see the wood for the trees. Every signpost pointed to atrocities in the same language. Every place name ran like colitis down the calipered legs of the metal posts. Wherever I turned, I came upon myself.
What were you doing there in the first place?
I was buying chocolate buttons.
That was when you were little. What were you doing in the north of Ireland?
I was buying copies of Mayfair, men only. Those women would be grannies now with bright blonde hair and lasered eyes.
That was when you were an adolescent. What were you doing in the north of Ireland?
I was buying contraceptives. I was buying Trojans, but the Trojans lost.
That was when you were married. What were you doing in the north of Ireland?
I was having dental implants on the cheap. My mouth was like stalagmites. I couldn't shriek.
And you saw the red telephone?
I saw the red telephone, deep in their dark territory, with the man's to the left and right of me, where even the Methodists are meant to be Antichrist.
Never mind the Methodists. Tell me about the telephone. What was it like?
It was like the lantern in Narnia. It was lucent. It was light. My cardiac muscle opened like an orchid. In I went.
You went in?
I went into the tabernacle. The reasonable, the right thinking ark.
You were home again. Home again.
It did not smell of urine, cheroots, or the anthracite of corpses. It smelled of the golden pages, of the Esperanto of suitors, and the deep decency of England. I inhaled it like hash, so I did. I weed myself a little, like a dachshund, with regret and gratitude. The north roared at me through its mullions with abominable breath. Like dolmens round my childhood, the northern poets loomed. But the red telephone rang true. Its pitch was perfect, mild, mindful, moon-bathing. I said, wake us, Legia.
Thank God.
Not thank God. More like thanks be to God. It's a pious ejaculation. It's the burst of breath in the buoy.
But you went and you weed there, damn it. You went and you weed. Which dovetails, doesn't it, with the dream of everybody sitting down to dinner, everybody bending over and turning away from each other like they were saying the rosary in the old days, bottom to bottom, and then shitting on the play settings together? You see how they dovetail, dream number one and dream number two.
I did not dream the red telephone. It imagined me.
But you dream the impossible dream repeatedly.
I dream that everybody brings something to the table. In a rational state, we'd shit together and eat apart. We'd fast as one and we'd breakfast by ourselves.
But why in the invalid's toilet? Why not in the men's? Why not in the women's?
The invalid's toilet is twinned with a torture chamber in Argentina. I write my Amnesty International notelets there between the chains and the hoist.
Do you see yourself as an invalid? Do you see yourself as a victim? Are you part of the veni vidi victim, chic?
Did you do Latin in the Leaving Cert?
It was obligatory long ago, in the good old days when things were obligatory and you obliged.
I take my meals into the toilet. The fish smells of chicken. Chicken smells of fish. Bread is asbestos. The plastic cutlery snaps like ice cream sticks. Makes a sound like the fraction of the host before the bread line forms at mass. My wrist leers up at me.
You're afraid they're listening.
I turn on the taps so no one will hear me do what I have to do in the toilet. I turn on the cold tap, the hot tap, and the faucet tap to drink from. The faucet tap to drink from is the loudest, but it stops after 15 seconds.
You're afraid they'll hear the terrible sounds of the loo.
I activate the warm air hand dryer. I step into the cubicle, lock the stall door, lift the lid of the seat in one silent, succinct motion, depress the chrome lever, flush the bowl loudly, whistle something country and western.
Tie a yellow ribbon.
Or Sylvia's mother. Sometimes I wish all my children were babies again.
I love that one. And the B-side. You never can do wrong in a mother's eyes.
I whistled something country and western, so they'll think I'm at the urinal, not in the you-know-where about to you-know-what. The ghastly, god-awful sounds.
And then?
Then I do it.
Good.
I open my lips. My mouth proclaims my teeth.
Good man.
I eat. I ingest. I wolf down.
Good man yourself.
The broccoli, the burger, pig's trotters, sheep's brains, mutton dressed as ram, the lamb of God.
Down the gullet and into the gut and on to the winking sphincter. More power to you.
The chewing is drowned out in the lavatorial orchestra. The mastication goes unnoticed as the waters rise around me. The cruelty of incisors is not heard. The swallow itself is inaudible. Lubricant, drool and saliva. The drip feed, the drop zone. The sound of a man consuming. The sound of a man consumed. The sound of a mammal cannibalizing creation.
5. Monitoring your peace of mind. Stop your present course of peace of mind and consult with your doctor immediately if you're a 45-year-old alpha female who wants to marry and have a baby. You're a 45-year-old alpha male whose children are bonding blithely with their new father. Fuck him. Give him pancreatic cancer, God. 4 weeks and whoosh, he's soot in the columbarium. You pass the party balloons on the wrought iron wicket gate of your late Victorian semi, a 20-year tracker. You do not go past. You do not pass go. You listen to the pizzicato of the drizzle in your prefrontal cortex. You hear the chromatic harmonica of the wind. Stop your present course of peace of mind and consult with your doctor immediately if you're a parent of any gender whose child is power walking through the darkness past the photographs of missing kittens and disappeared teenagers. You're a parent. You're a child. You're a married child, yet your bus ticket says single adult, one use, one way. You're alive and ill and living in the world. Your brain has a mind of its own. Your mind is electrical awful. Your mind is awful with voltage. You realize that the weight of the world on your shoulders is the chipped crash helmet of your own consciousness and not just the force of gravity, although the pressure of the latter does indeed amount, more or less, to 3 tusked Indian elephants on top of your tonsure at any one time. Your guardian angel has died and risen again in a papier-mâché impersonation as the Angelical Guardian newspaper. You take it into bed with you where your wife used to lie through her teeth, 2 Belfast crowns that cost a K. You lay it down, a scroll of the law, beside the poker and the flash lamp. You walk home instead of withdrawing money for the dart fair to Balbriggan because there's a schizophrenic with strawberry blonde hair sitting under the ATM in Delir Street with a sign that says, "I thirst," pinned like a bib to her blouse. Is that copy from a Guinness Light commercial or something Jesus said at the wedding feast in Cana? You count the CCTVs on the way to work, on the way from work, at work, out of work, between jobs, the grey and grainy multiplication of your 3-piece suit subtracting among the hoodies and the pyjama bottoms and the high heels among the starved secretaries in their pinstriped skirts to the knee and sneakers. For the purposes of this programme, male baldness can be every bit as bad as bereavement. Worse, in fact. For the purposes of this programme, you may pray to the father and the son or to the mother and the daughter. We are all in this together. For the purposes of this programme, peeing in a wetsuit to warm it up before you go into the great unwashed of the deep is not a perversion. It is just a bit kinky. Live and let live. Come, Holy Spirit, and renew the face of our dirt. Restore us to the pure filth of the world. Lord, hear your predators as we pray. You may now respond in your own time and place with Amen or Ahem. Why?
She forgot to take her contact out and to put her tablet in. That's how smashed she was after the pre-debs. Woke up in the afternoon with a migraine and a missing MAP.
What's MAP?
Morning after pill. Mutual assured peace of mind. Oh, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hath children hath given hostages to fortune. I'd already spent a few grand on having her jaw reconstructed by a plastic surgeon to make it less masculine. Take out the wisdoms, deepen the dimples. But why am I telling you these things? I'm the patriarch, you're the prodigal.
We're swapping crosses. It's an Irish pastime. Go on.
Where was I?
Stansted, Ryanair, Thursday the 19th.
If you don't book ages in advance, they crucify you. It cost as much as Aer Lingus to Heathrow. And then, to add insult to injury, they took my aftershave away. Christian Dior Eau Sauvage in the duty-free. The large atomizer. You can only get it in Brown Thomas otherwise. And when am I in town?
Rarely.
Never. Never.
How was she afterwards?
She was all right. She was fine. We did the business. Then I took her to the Lion King, paid through the nose for the dress circle, of course, but she loved it. The mango and raspberry ice cream from the cone was running down her hand onto her lucky charm bracelet. She was mesmerised.
And now?
A1.
Thank God.
Oh, absolutely. At least I know where she is. Wouldn't want her in her sonesas or pole dancing in Puerto Banum. The stories you hear?
They're all anecdotal.
True for you.
Abort is a hard word. It's the B and the T together with the O in between.
We didn't abort. We removed a microscopic blood clot. We aspirated a gestational sac. Life is a hard word too.
It is. Sort of wistful. I suppose it's the L and the F sound at the end.
Aspirate is nice.
Aspire. Aspiration. Aspirateur.
Aspirateur?
The French for vacuum cleaner. You found one in the confession box. That was an aspirateur.
Cass, where were you when I needed you?
On Thursday the 19th?
No, in Cathar territory with the butcher, the baker and the candlestick maker. Thursday the 19th is ancient history. Of course, it's modern history too in another way.
How so?
Something pretty important happened on Thursday the 19th of May.
What was that?
After the Lion King in the hotel, we watched it together, herself and me. She fell asleep with her glasses on, but I stayed awake. I had a sense of the history being made. I took off her glasses, opened the minibar and got stuck into Sky.
Sky?
There I was, on the corner of Covent Garden and the Donmar warehouse in a top-tier suite in London. The bed turned down and a chocolate creme de menthe on two batik pillows while the Queen of England was making a speech in Irish at a dinner in downtown Dublin. The wife was there in her Marc Jacobs. It's not Kennedy or the Pope being shot, but still...
But still...
Admissions rose dramatically that week. Did I tell you? All over the country. Brother Albert was on his knees at reception, kissing the palms of their hands as the family signed them in.
Admissions always rise at the start of summer. Then they fall again when the evenings shorten and the darkness goes without saying.
This was no plateau. This was a peak. The manics and the paranoids peaked. There's a paper in it.
But I was well. I was never weller.
Well, if you imitate normality...
We will become normal.
Well, you will anyway. I'm already a veteran.
I was at work. I was working away.
Down in Docklands.
Down in Docklands.
Across from the conference centre.
Across from the conference centre near Misery Hill.
You were breadwinning.
I was breadwinning. I was charging sterling on the clock. The client was in Strabane. By God, I was beavering.
And will again and will again.
I came up in the bubble lift with a SWAT team, with six clean-shaven snipers. The snipers were smaller than they should have been, but they said the height requirement had been axed by the ombudswoman. Most of them had shaved their heads to hide their baldness. People are so sensitive about hair loss. Even snipers.
How do you know there were snipers?
There were telescopic sights on their rifles. The rifles were much lighter than they looked.
They took out my father's femur and put in the captain's prize, but it weighed nothing. That's platinum for you. Or is it plutonium?
The bullets were soft, they said. They were specially made. They'd detonate in the target like a dum-dum, bulge and burst there, and not exit or ricochet or run riot. Otherwise, they could hurt somebody. They could kill somebody. A prefix, a suffix, a first secretary with his only grandchild, sprung for the day from a private Montessori. Then they'd be handing out saline solutions in sub-Saharan Africa until they needed a drip stand themselves.
The same consideration for others produced the red telephone box.
I brought them decaf coffee up on the roof and six small Twixes from the Latvian's hospitality trolley. Regular coffee can produce a tremor. You don't want that, obviously. But they all took sugar, except the one who was spread-eagled on the astroturf among the satellite shields. He said that no, he used sugar substitutes, hermesitas and or canderel. He swore by them. He had lost pounds, he told me, since the start of Lent.
Time will tell. Time will tell all.
I came down to the atrium by the back stairs where the anorexics practice. Up, down, up, down, up, down. Both of them, whenever it's too wet to walk. But the sky was back above me. A blue helmet. A peacemaker. A black-backed gull coasted through my floaters, flicking them deftly downriver. The shutter speed of the lightning flash in the lobby photocopier copied the replica flash of the flash photography in the street outside as the pod of the motorcade passed.
It was a perfect match. A match made in heaven.
I imagined myself. It was all mirrors and no smoke in the restroom. It was all eureka and no karaoke.
You had imitated normality and become normal.
The man on the flat screen set in the unisex toilet was reading the numbers of the lotto jackpot. His voice went low and slow and solemn when he read the numbers out, like a priest reciting the words of consecration, one after another. First the bread, and then the wine. 12, 28, 32, 40, 45. All the good years, all the in-between times, all the dry land and the solid ground of my life so far and no farther. Rainbows over the white fuchsia. Meltdown of February. Groundswell of March. The new script. And I watered the spider plant that was there with sparkling water from a source deep in the limestone burren. And the spider plant trembled as it drank and thanked me in Greek for what I had done and for what I had failed to do.
Oh, I wish I could give you a bear hug. I wish I could clap you on the shoulder. I wish I could punch you in the stomach. I wish I could play with your hair. This new no-contact policy is a bugger for the shrink and for the shrunken. But I can still blow you a kiss. I can still give you the thumbs up. And I don't care a damn what it looks like on the CCTV tape.
Six. Final claims and a disclaimer of any finality whatsoever. Peace of Mind is marketed as a hard capsule in other countries under the following brand names. In England, Peace of Mind is called Optimize. It can be purchased in 20 milligram amounts available generically as Home Fires Burning. In France, Peace of Mind is called Irony. Irony can be administered at will in situations of schlock, schmaltz, and devious sentimentality. It has many mineral preservative properties but can result in loss of feeling in the digits and diverse arterial complications. Symptoms of irony closely mimic mercury poisoning. In Germany, peace of mind is traded as guilt. Everything in Germany is gilt-edged, and no wonder, by Christ. But there comes a time when guilt is itself a form of denial. In Ireland, peace of mind is available as faith and or fatalism. Hence the trademark Faithalite in blistered foils and in peppermint-flavoured rosary beads. In Texas, where human sacrifice is commonplace in the death chambers, hope is a prohibited drug, but major tranquilizers like Meloril and Largactil are offered to clients up to 72 hours before execution as a part of the chaplaincy protocols. Capital prisoners on major tranquilizers should avoid direct sunlight and trips to the beach. In Italy, peace of mind is added to the water supply like fluoride in a form that dissolves into non-partisan laughter and a ludicrous attachment to the good old human body, the bella figura, particularly the female pelvis and the male posterior, in spite of everything that's been said about Brother Donkey and Sister Ass down through the ages. Californians call peace of mind something else altogether, and it is. They habitually confuse it with peace and quiet. Peace of mind is free, gratis, and for nothing in Monte Carlo, Liechtenstein, and the uninhabited interior of Antarctica, but it is largely unavailable throughout Africa, Asia, South America, and all chain store turf accountants in the North World. Bookies cannot guarantee it. Neither can books, not even the good one. In Israel and in the Vatican, peace of mind is known as shalom, pax prophylaxis, and colloquially as Godspeed, which is, incidentally, the best speed of all. Available in suppository form to rabbis and bishops whose lips are sealed. Come, Holy Spirit, renew the face of our dirt. Restore us to the pure filth of the world. Lord, hear your predators as we pray. You may now respond in your own time and place with amen or a hymn.